From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where President Biden has nominated Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins to become the next U.S. attorney in Massachusetts. The U.S. Senate still has to vote to confirm Rollins, which is expected to happen in the fall. If confirmed, Rollins will become the first Black woman to hold the position in the Commonwealth. Rollins, who is also the first Black woman to serve as Suffolk County's DA, is no stranger to controversy. But if she's confirmed to the federal post, she'll likely have to take a more diplomatic approach. For more on this, we're joined now by WBUR's Deborah Becker. Hey, Deb, thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
So give us some quick background on Rollins and her time as Suffolk County DA.
Well, Rollins was elected in 2018, arguably the most well-known district attorney in the state. She's garnered even national attention for being among a group of progressive prosecutors trying to reform the criminal legal system and its focus on punishment. Some of her signature issues are not prosecuting low-level nonviolent crimes. She says that leads to mass incarceration. She's also in favor of reviewing the integrity of convictions, especially those that may have been affected by the state drug lab scandals. And of course, those scandals were involving two former state chemists who were convicted of mishandling drug evidence that they were testing at state labs. So these positions, while she's attracted many fans with them, she's also ruffled a lot of feathers.
And with that, what are folks saying about her nomination?
Well, U.S. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey, who recommended Rollins for this post, praised the choice. And in a joint statement, they called her a national leader on transforming the criminal justice system and shifting from an approach based on punishment. Rollins, in a statement, said she's humbled by the nomination from Biden. Others have been less effusive. The Massachusetts District Attorneys Association president, who's the Cape and Islands DA, Michael O'Keefe, would only say that the few DAs he's spoken with are pleased by her nomination. And Rollins got into a bit of a tussle with O'Keefe during her tenure. He actually wrote an editorial in the Boston Globe criticizing not Rollins by name, but those who he called, quote, social justice district attorneys. And the last Massachusetts U.S. attorney, Andrew Lelling, he left office in February. He said that some of Rollins' comments have raised concerns in the past. Let's listen to what he said.
Rachel and I get along great, but when you wield that kind of power as U.S. attorney, I think you have to control a little more what you say.
So, Paris, Rollins' positions have resulted in some backlash, including from the Baker administration. State Public Safety Secretary Tom Turco publicly criticized Rollins for not prosecuting some low-level crimes, and others have been critical as well. But the president of the Mass Bar Association, Denise Murphy, says Rollins has taken lessons from some of these controversies.
She learned from being at the Suffolk DA's office that you have to be a lot more aware of all the ramifications of what you're going to say. She is a lightning rod, no doubt about that, but that's what it sometimes takes to make change.
And there are some who completely support Rollins. John Amabile, who's incoming president of the Massachusetts Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, says he hopes that Rollins, as U.S. attorney, moves away from strict federal sentencing guidelines and does not tone down her reform efforts.
What I would be hoping for is that she tones things up and she provides leadership in assessing what cases should be brought, what the priorities should be, and significantly how people should be treated in terms of sentencing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how she makes that adjustment if she's confirmed. And do we think Rollins will be confirmed as this federal prosecutor in Massachusetts?
Well, most legal experts do expect that she'll be confirmed, and many of them say she will probably have to be more diplomatic in her approach. I spoke with University of Richmond Law Professor Carl Tobias, and he says typically the Senate does not hold hearings on U.S. attorney nominations, and approval is likely for Rollins because she was recommended by Senators Warren and Markey.
The process is not one that lends itself to rejecting a nominee, especially if the person has home state senator support and the president's support. So it has happened, but I think it's unlikely to happen.
And if Rollins is confirmed, Governor Charlie Baker will appoint an interim replacement until an election is held next year. And Baker was asked yesterday what qualities he's looking for in the next Suffolk DA. And this is what he said.
I think the biggest one is sort of what I would describe as experience, intelligence, and some degree of support from the community.
Baker also said his administration also asks the person who previously held the job, in this case Rollins, if they have any recommendations as to who would serve in the interim.
And if Rollins is confirmed, what will the new role entail?
Well, the U.S. Attorney's Office prosecutes federal crimes and works with federal agencies such as the FBI and the Drug Enforcement Administration. So if she's confirmed, Rollins would oversee 200 federal prosecutors and be part of a large federal bureaucracy reporting to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Now, that's as opposed to being the head of a state law enforcement agency, which is very different. And I think many folks do expect that she will have to navigate this bureaucracy in a very different way.
Well, we'll be following along with you as she makes the transition. That's WBUR's Deborah Becker. Thanks so much for your reporting on this.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The state's positive test rate for coronavirus continues to rise, thanks in part to the highly contagious Delta variant. The 7-day rate is now more than 1.6%, the highest it's been since April, and more than 4 times higher than it was at the start of July. Governor Baker will take part today in a White House conference call with governors from around the country to discuss the latest surge. But despite the rise in cases, Baker says he still has no plans to reinstate a statewide mask mandate and wants more information from the Biden administration before considering any other potential changes in COVID policy throughout the Commonwealth. More than 500 positive cases have now been linked back to an outbreak in Provincetown, but some experts say it's still too early to get a true read on the state of the pandemic in Massachusetts. Dr. Shira Derone, an epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, says a study of the Provincetown cluster will be necessary before any conclusions are reached.
What we've learned so far, which is the number of people infected, does not tell us anything about vaccine effectiveness. But what does tell us is that outbreaks are still possible in this day and age, even in Massachusetts.
Derone says health officials should consider new ways to get more people inoculated, including the possibility of mandatory vaccinations. And finally, the Baker administration is urging Beacon Hill lawmakers to release federal funds to revamp infrastructure in preparation for the effects of climate change. State Energy Secretary Kathleen Theoharides is asking lawmakers for more than $250 million for culverts and dams and nearly $500 million for water and sewer systems.
We have seen the impacts from increased flooding, increased heavy precipitation events, and the opportunity to spend federal funding on these projects is really game-changing.
Altogether, the Baker administration wants to spend nearly $1 billion in federal COVID aid on energy and environmental initiatives. Well, let's hope that gets us in a place where we can actually tackle climate change down the road. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since our Earth and protecting it, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Oh, it's been such a hard year and a half, y'all. But the universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Dear Sugars is hosted by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond, who field all your questions, no matter how deep or dark, and offer radical empathy in return. Check out Dear Sugars wherever you get your podcasts.